My name is Tracy Ogando, and my husband is on staff here at The Rock, pastoring our Spanish ministry and also director of the Bible College. Just out of curiosity, how many people have gone to Bible College or have ever wanted to go to Bible College? Okay, yes, it's a worthwhile effort. I just encourage you to do so. You can just never get too much of the Word of God, amen. Praise God. How many of you are blessed every Thursday morning that you can come here? Isn't God so good? Praise God. Me too. I've been coming to Girlfriends for a few years, and most of that time I came just to receive. It was like mommy time, you know? And I came, and I always, always left so encouraged, and I still do. And so we just are so grateful for these Thursday mornings, and I feel really privileged to be able to share with you today and to be, you know, someone the Lord is going to use to hopefully plant something in your heart today. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a testimony today. And I'll be honest, it's not something I talk about a lot. It's, you know, just something I don't like to share too much. But I feel like, you know, if the Lord wants me to share, it's because He just wants you to know something. You know, He wants to touch your heart today. So are you ready? Yeah. Praise God. Well, gosh, where do I start, Lord? When I was younger, I was sexually abused by a relative. And growing up, I felt like just strange. I felt very different from everyone else. I looked around, and even in high school, I thought, oh, these girls are so happy, and, you know, they're going to have normal lives and normal marriages, and I'm just so, you know, icky, and I don't know how I'll react when it's time to get married, and I just felt really messed up, you know, and so just to kind of give you that little side note, the Lord began to just lead me into teachings on forgiveness, and so I began to kind of work on that one already, you know, just choosing to forgive. How many have heard those teachings on you just choose to forgive? Sometimes you don't feel it, but the first step is, I forgive, you know. And so was experiencing some good healing along those lines. And then into my 20s, there came a point when I started to have these memories of another sexual abuse that had happened. And it was like these memories that had been buried, and then I would see something and it would just trigger something, and I would start to remember something else that was a lot more traumatic and just uglier than anything else. And so it started to affect me, you know, emotionally, like, what's going on with me? I'm remembering this stuff happening. So I was asking, you know, my parents, well, what, you know, who was so-and-so? And and they said, well, he was a co-worker of my dad's, and sometimes they would just let him take me out on outings to the mall or something. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it's crazy. And they were just very innocent, and just he just seemed like a nice guy. But I started, you know, remembering these horrible memories of sexual abuse in detail, you know. And so I did some research on the internet, and I'm sorry if I'm making anyone feel a little uncomfortable. I hate hearing stories, you know, sad stories, but I do feel like the Lord does want me to just share this today. So sorry, I know this is not, you know, the happiest topic in the world, but so I looked on the internet, and all I could find was that when you have these buried memories or they're coming back, it's really, no one has been able to prove that it's real. It's like they've only been able to prove that when you have these memories coming back, there have been cases where it's false, faulty memories. It never really happened. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on with me? I'm going crazy. And I just began to sink into a really, really deep depression and just cried out to help for some of the counselors at my church and didn't know what to do. I said, either I need to go to a mental hospital or I need to really look at this and maybe, you know, see that it's true. And And just, we had a track at our church for sexual abuse. It was like support groups, very similar to what we have here, Breaking Free. And so, you know, we talked about it and prayed, and we thought, well, let's just assume that it actually did happen and just go through our hope groups and just work through the pain and just, you know, work through the forgiveness. And, but you can imagine how difficult it was to forgive someone for something horrendous when maybe I just made it up. Maybe it didn't even happen. And so there was just this torment, and my question for the Lord was, did this happen? Or am I just having this little mental breakdown and some kind of, you know, derangement or something? You know, what is going on with me? And then, you know, I could go into a lot more detail, you know, just this process. And so I just had some major questions for the Lord. Was he a nice guy or was he a pervert? You know, I just felt like I cannot go on with my life unless I know the truth. And I just got no answers. And, you know, we sing a song here that says, I come to you, Lord, time and time again, needing answers to questions I don't understand. And I feel like so many of us here have questions that just, there's no answer. You know, why did this happen? Why? Why did my child pass away? You know, Cheryl Salem, her daughter died at the age of 8. She has asked the Lord why. She didn't get an answer. No answer. You know, and just others who have shared that they have these burning questions. Christine Kane found out she was adopted. And what's her question? Did my mom ever think about me? Did she ever love me? Did she ever wonder how I was doing? You know? And so I just want you to know today, if you have questions in your heart, why, you know, why did that happen? Unanswered questions. There are many of us here. Many of us here who have questions that are not answered. And I just want to tell you my journey of just coming to a place of peace with the Lord. And to this day, I mean, I wish I could stand here and say, yes, and then this man called on the phone and said, I'm so sorry. No, I still don't know. You know, I don't know what happened in my 20s. Maybe I had some kind of a mental breakdown, or maybe I was terribly abused as a little girl. I really don't know. You know, and sometimes I do wonder. But let me just tell you about the next few months. I was in just a really deep depression and just like, what's going on, you know? And why, Lord, why is this happening, or why did that happen? So I just finally got to the point where I realized, where I thought God was just not good. God, you're just not a good God. This is ugly. This world, so many bad things happen in this world. The way you do things is just, you know, you let bad things happen. Anybody ever have a thought like that? God, you just let bad things happen. Why? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but I've heard it from so many people. If God is so good, then why did that have to happen, you know? And at one point, I finally said, God, I just cannot be a Christian anymore. I cannot. I don't like you. I'm just going to live my life. And I really wanted to die, but I kept waking up in the morning. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're not going to take me away, I can't live my life anymore with God. I'm just going to live on my own. I was very, very angry at God, of course. And so for about 3 days, I tried to not be a Christian, which I had been a Christian, my family, since I was, you know, can remember. And for those 3 days, I just want to tell you, I felt the Lord Jesus, his presence, just right there next to me. I would be driving along, and it was like he was in the passenger seat. And I'm like, I told you, I do not like you. You let bad things happen. And I felt like the Lord was just there looking at me, just waiting. You know, and so finally after 3 days, I just realized that life without God was worse than life with a God I didn't like or didn't. I just was like, boy, life without God is so empty, just so empty. I couldn't take that hardly at all. So I finally came back to the Lord and just said, okay, you know, I can't live with life without you. I need you. And so it was kind of this like, okay, I'll be a Christian because it's the best way to go. But at the same time feeling like, well, but God, you know, sometimes bad. I don't know if he's good sometimes, bad, you know. And I really hope that there's no one here who's just a Christian because, you know, it's the best way to go, but you're not really sure about God. You know, I'm a Christian, but God, you know, he can be good and he can be sort of, you know, mean. And I was in that space for a little while, like, okay, I'm a Christian because, you know, I just, it's the best way to go, but I don't know if I really love God or really like him. And to make a long story short, I found myself in a church in Bakersfield. I don't even know the name of it or the name of the pastor. And they were singing a song, "You are good, you are good. And your love endures. You are good, you are good. And your love endures. You are good, you are good. And your love endures today." Anybody know that song? And I just felt something inside. And it was like I knew that I knew in my knower, like Pastor Sue says, that God is really, really good. He's good. He's good. He doesn't rejoice in evil, but he rejoices in the truth. He was feeling my pain, and he was going to make something good come out of it, and he was taking care of me. And it was just the first step in really coming back to the Lord, that he really is good. And that just hit me. Just something changed inside, and I just received that, like, okay, Lord, you're good. You're good. These things, I don't have answers to some of these things, but I know that you are good. And it was just the first step. And so maybe today the Lord just wants you to know, darling, daughter, I want you to know I am good. I'm good. And I'm working for your good. And I don't rejoice with evil and the bad things in this world. And in the process of time, the Lord has explained some things to me. But you know, at that moment, I probably couldn't handle the truth. Have you seen that movie at the end where Tom Cruise is the attorney and he's interviewing Jack Nicholson and he's like, "We want the truth." And Jack Nicholson says, "You can't handle the truth." It was like God was saying, "You can't handle." And I was thinking, you know, that's probably true. If I were to talk to my 7-year-old today about where babies really come from, you know, like for reals, he would be crying. He would be thinking about it every night. He would not get it. He would be so like, ah. So some things, if the Lord were to tell us, we just can't handle it. We would be crying. We would be thinking about it at night. We'd be like, what? And as we grow in the Lord, you know, if I were to tell my son when he's older, he might be like, okay, all right. And then when he's even older and married, he's going to say, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. This is just wonderful. And so I feel like as we grow in the Lord, he might explain some things to us and we'll say, okay. And maybe when we get to heaven, we're going to say, it's wonderful. It's beautiful, Lord. This whole thing with free will. You know, at that time, I didn't want to hear about free will. Oh, free will, thanks a lot. They have free will to hurt me. You know, but now that we're older, okay, I see. You're giving our future into our hands, and our world into our hands. We have the future. He's trusting us with it. We have free will. And I believe in heaven we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for free will. Even though people chose to use free will for negative things, it's beautiful. So there's just some things the Lord just, we're not ready to get it yet. But as we mature, he's going to explain some things to us. And in heaven, we'll just really understand and just be able to say, it's beautiful, Lord, thank you. Just wonderful the way your plan works out. Amen. So let's look in the Word, Psalm 34, verse 8. So, and I'm so proud of you all for bringing your Bibles. I love Bibles with pages. I have to have mine on my phone because I carry so much stuff with little kids, you know. But I can't wait to be able to carry an actual big book around again. 34, verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say it out loud with me? Let's read this together on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen. Every time we get together, we're just tasting and learning that the Lord is good, because knowing that the Lord is good, you know, in my old church, we used to say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And so we've been taught that, and we know that, but that is only the starting point. Only the starting point. Why? Our intellect comes in and wants us to explain a little more. Otherwise, our intellect and our mind is going to discard that someday and say, well, no, the earth, there's all kinds of bad stuff. So, you know, we can't just settle for God is good. We've got to dig in. Talk about why God is good. Fill our mind with God's goodness. Amen? So we taste and we see how good God is. So I just have one little facet of his goodness. There's so many millions. If we made a big long list here of all the reasons why God is good, I mean, we could just go on and on. So let's talk about just one little thing. God is good because he gives us a new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? We get a new beginning. We get a fresh, clean slate. We're a new creation. So let's go to the next scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a good God he is. He's so good. Who else can do that? Anybody else on earth give you a brand new soul, a spirit that's alive? He's just so good. So good. And I'll just end with kind of a funny little story. We were just on vacation recently, and at my parents' house, they have this little contraption. I don't even know what it was. It's some kind of exercise equipment, but it looks like a tiny little pulpit. So my daughter was using it to preach, you know, which we're like, yay, cool. So she has her little book, and I'm kind of like, honey, don't you want to sing? You know, like, I'm glad you're preaching, but, you know, I'm kind of a singer. Don't you want to sing like mommy? And so she's like, okay. So she finishes preaching, and she grabs the wire whisk, and she goes, a whole new world from Aladdin. I was like, oh, great. I'm expecting a praise song. And I thought, well, you know, maybe a whole new world. Maybe that's, you know, prophetic or something. But really, God does give us a whole new world, doesn't he? He gives us a whole new life. So praise him for his goodness. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, that was amazing. Whew. We get to break open the word again. These are like rich, just full of nutrients and goodness, just rich messages that God has for you, three of them this morning. What a privilege to open up the word and get into this. Well, my name is Pastor Michelle, and my husband and I are the youth pastors here at The Rock, and God is amazing. Let me tell you, The youth at this church, they are on fire for Jesus. They are loving God. In this generation, which is not an easy generation, they're choosing God. And so we get the privilege to pastor those teenagers, and it's an honor to be up here and just share for 10 minutes something that God's put in my heart. You know, Tracy, she's an amazing person, and I wish I had the talent she had. I wish I could preach and sing in the middle of my message. I'm not even joking, but see, God said, no, Michelle, you would just take way too long. So I'm gonna share with you just one thing today that I want you to get, and that is to live a passionate life. I am going to be 29 years old. My husband just turned 29 today. Today's his birthday. I know. We're starting the hill. Starting the hill. And I've been serving God. I've been raised in church, you know, kind of went away through my teen years. So if your kids do that, don't worry, they'll come back. And they'll be preachers probably too. And I came back to God around 16 years of age, where I just got on fire for God. And I've lived a passionate life. And maybe I'm a little hyperactive, and maybe I didn't get any medication when I was younger, because, you know, my mom let me play in the mud and she let me dress myself. So I blame it all on that. But I am a little bit passionate. And I'm really passionate about Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. And this morning, I want you to leave this room loving Jesus more. A passion. Maybe you've come into this room and maybe you felt like Tracy did, where you're just saying, you know what, God, I'm going to give you one more chance. And we've been there. Haven't we all been there? We can find ourselves there. But let me tell you today, choose God today and live passionate for him. There is a theme going through the Rock Church right now, and don't miss it. Don't miss this wave of the Holy Spirit crashing over this church. You know, I didn't get to go to Sunday night service because we were doing these discipleship groups with the teenagers, but I watched it on Facebook, and it's amazing the internet and what we can do now. And as I was chopping vegetables on my day off, I'm listening to the wave of the Holy Spirit that crashed on the church on Sunday night and then also through Sabbath and Sunday morning services. God is doing something. Let's hold on to it with passion. You see, passion is just it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit running your life. You letting him control your life. You letting him tell you that how much he loves you. What plan he has for you. The gifts that he's given you. That's what passion is. It fuels you. You are fueled by the Holy Spirit. And there's a passion that just manifests. And it keeps you going when you don't want to go anymore. And it gives you joy when you think that you've lost it. And it keeps you in that marriage, honey. And it keeps you raising those kids in faith. We got that passion. You know, one thing about passion is you can find your passion in your purpose. You got to find your purpose. When you find your purpose, everything changes. Isn't that true? When you find your purpose, everything changes. We can look in Matthew 25, and I think we have the verse on the overhead, but if you don't have it, I'll read it for you. Matthew 25. When the boss gave the servants the talents, you remember that story? And the one guy who was given one talent didn't do anything with it. See, you have a purpose. God's given you multiple purposes on this planet because your purpose will change. You'll find that throughout life. And what you do with it is your call. It's your choice. It's your free will to do what you want. But this servant decided to do nothing with it. And he was called wicked and lazy, and he was punished for it. And this is what he said. He said to his master, he said, I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. No passion. What's your talent? What's your purpose? It may be one thing. It may be multiple things. But what is it? Live it out. This life is a vapor, and we have no idea how long we'll be on this planet. So live your life passionately with joy. Live your life loving it and find your purpose, because when you find it, it changes everything. I want you to turn to Judges 3. Now, something you may not know about me is I like action movies. And when my husband and I, we've known each other throughout high school and we fell in love. And when we started dating each other, we kind of already knew everything about each other. You know, like we've known each other. We've been friends forever. And so we would go on a date and, you know, you have those awkward date questions. Well, what kind of movies do you like? Okay. And so I was like, I like action movies. And he was like, oh, well, really? I didn't know that. What kind of action movies do you like? I said, well, I like Charlie's Angels. I said, Michelle, that is not an action movie. I said, oh. But this is why I like the story in Judges, because it reminds me of an action movie. It reminds me of, I don't know why Steven Spielberg or J.J. Abrams haven't picked up this story yet and made a movie out of it, because it's that good. So with that in mind, let's go to the Word. In Judges chapter 3, verse number 12, this is what it says. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of the Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms. So the people of God were doing evil in the sight of the Lord again. So the people who did not serve God conquered them. That's what happened. So it says in verse number 14, so the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for them. The Lord raised up a deliverer for them. That was his purpose. His one purpose in life, this man, his name is Ehud, his one purpose was to be a deliverer for Israel. What is your one purpose? If you don't have one, find out what it is because you got one. Is it a mother? Is it a wife? Is it to start that small group? Have you just lost your passion because you forgot about your purpose? As a wife? God, I don't know all the plans God has for me, but one of them is that I raised up Michelle to be a mother of Isabella Grace and Carter Stephen because there's a plan for their life. God has me on this planet to be the wife of Richard Dean Villanueva Jr. to stand alongside of him and preach the word of God. What's your purpose? Now let's read on because this is where the story gets good. So Ehud is raised up. So they go, it says in, verse number 15, but when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Jared, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. I call the story the left-handed assassin. Now, Benjamite means right-handed, so God's kind of funny like that, right? He puts a left-handed assassin in the right-hand tribe. And so it says that he made a dagger, and it was double-edged, and it was a cubit in length, which is about from your wrist to your elbow. And he said, and he fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh, and he brought it as a tribute. He was brought the tribute to Eglon. So they went to the king. Now it says the king was a big man. He was a fat man. Okay? So they go, and Ehud says, I have something for you. And so they dismiss everybody. And then he says again, I have something for you. And so Ehud came to him in verse number 20. Now, he was sitting upstairs in the cool private chamber, and Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat, and Ehud reached with his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly, and the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, and he did not draw the dagger out of his belly. This is where it gets... I'm sorry, ladies. I know this is not a girlfriend's message, but this is an action movie. All right? And your life has action because you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Find it and take a risk. He took a risk. He knew what he was to do and he conquered it and he did what God had him to have him to do. Marlo, we made a music video. It's called Easter Swag. It has marshmallow peeps in it. It is silly and funny, but it will witness to somebody and bring them to church on Easter Sunday. Take a risk. Risk. Come on, guys, let's step out in faith. Let's step out in faith. I'm going to finish it up with this. Living for passion. I want to read you this. And in the youth ministry, we did a video to this. And what it is, it's a pastor in Zimbabwe in the 1980s. A tribe told him, you denounce Jesus Christ or else we will kill you. And this is what he wrote. They found it in his papers. The next morning, he was murdered. He was a martyr for Jesus Christ. And this is what he wrote. And this is passion, ladies. I beg of you this morning. I beg of you. Do not live a lazy, indifferent life. Because that is what is attacking this generation. You want to hear from my generation? Don't be lazy. Fight it. Fight laziness. I ran a 13-mile marathon on Sunday. Because I took a risk. Because I want to do hard things. Did I do a great time? Not really, but I did it. Did men three times my age run faster than me? Yes. Okay? But I did it because it's good to do hard things. Do not live a lazy, indifferent, I don't care what happens to the next person. I'm just going to sit in my same seat, listen to the message. Listen, the word is here to change you, to bring heaven to earth. Let's do that. Let's unlock heaven. This is what this man and his passion, knowing that he would probably die the next day, this is what was found in his papers. It's called the Fellowship of the Unashamed. It says, I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few. My guide is reliable, my mission clear, I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. Woo. That is good. Let us live with passion. Amen. Pastor Robert.
It's been good today, huh? How do I follow that, Pastor Michelle? Jeez. I feel like kicking the table down and running out the door and telling the whole world about Jesus. No, I love it. I love passion. It's what drives us. It's what moves us. It's what motivates us. It's what gets us through the things that Tracy went through. So, Tracy, you are just so amazing, tender and sweet, and so not what I am. And I wish I could sing too, Michelle. I wish I could sing too. So, when Pastor Deborah, I want to say mom, because she's my mom, if you don't know that. I'm Pastor Jess. I right now am not on staff. I am, but I'm not. I don't know how to explain that. So anyways, how do I say that? I am, but I'm not. I won't be taking your counseling appointments because I am not in the office. I am raising my three children so that they will love the house of God and not despise the house of God because mommy was always gone. So that is my place and my position, but I still get to come and be a part of the women and help plan things and serve in this house. And so what I do is volunteer. What I do is in love with you, and I just love what I get to do. So I'm in a very good place. I'm passionate about being a wife and being a pastor on staff and loving the house of God, and that's where I'm at. And so my mom had called, and she said, What is one life lesson that you could give us? And I started kind of laughing because I'm in a lot of like life learning lessons right now. And I started going through them all and thinking about it. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, what is one thing that it's been your anthem. It's been your anthem with your kids. You feel like you say it too much. You feel like, and I'm like, to give thanks. There's one thing about me is I love to give thanks. The first time that my daughter, Chloe, was born and she received something from me, the first thing I did was teach her to say, thank you. And my little one-year-old, he goes, thank you. That's what he says right now, thank you. And he just walks around, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just love it. I mean, these are like his first moments, and I love that they are already grateful. And we as Christians, and especially we as women, and we can get into a position of expectancy in life. I expect to be taken care of. I expect things to be handed to me. Somebody does something nice to me. Well, yeah, I'm going through a tragedy. I need it. And we forget to say thanks. And you never realize how big one little word means. Thank you. And so today, if I could encourage you, my one life lesson is to be thankful, to be grateful, to not forget where you came from. You see, like Tracy, I was also an abused, but I was not sexually abused. I was physically abused and mentally abused by boyfriends, not by my parents, my family members. No, I had that awesome, awesome family, but I had messed up boyfriends and messed up decisions I had put myself in. And because of those decisions that I made, there were situations in my life I had to live through. And I had to learn to get through them like she did. Forgiveness was number one. But I also had to walk through these experiences in thanks. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't die that day. Thank you, Lord, that you got me through the pain and the heartache and the loneliness that I felt. Thank you, Lord, that you spoke to me in that day, at that moment, you held my hand. Thank you, Lord, that I heard your voice at that particular moment. Thank you, Lord, that you've now restored back everything that I could have ruined and put my life through. Because if I would have stayed on the road that I was on, I would not have been where I am now. I would not have 3 children. I would not have this amazing husband. I would not be trusted with a beautiful, incredible church. And the Lord began to restore back. But I really believe that it's because I had a heart of gratitude towards him. Because he saved me from hell. He saved me from my own stupidity. He saved me from when I couldn't make a right decision. God swooped in and he saved me from that. And he brought me right back on track. And he said, no, Jess, you're going down the wrong road again. Let's go this way. And listen, we so many times expect God to come to our rescue. How about we thank God for the rescue? Stop for a second and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God. Is there someone in your world that's been doing a lot for you lately? Because maybe you're in need. Maybe there's a tragedy that's happened to you. Maybe there's some things that have been heavy in your heart, things that are going on, and you have someone in your world that just keeps giving and keeps giving and keeps giving, and you've gotten comfortable with them in your life. Do something special for them today. Go out of your way for them for a change. I'm challenging us because it's so easy for us to get complacent. This is something that's so easily overlooked, but yet means so much. Because if you open the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing." Now listen, when you're at home and your husband is acting a fool, do they do that? No. Are you thanking God for him? Or are you cursing him in your head? These are the moments that you need to kind of stop and go, I have a son, and his name is Micah. And this kid, Michelle, passion is the only word I can use for him. Because passionate mom and passionate Micah, we go head to head on a daily basis. And last night, Micah was having a passionate moment right before bed and passionately waking up everybody, and Mama was really passionately mad. And so I stopped for a second. The Lord said, are you thanking me for him right now? And I'm like, stinking message, you know. And I said, Micah, I thank God for you because you are passionate. One day you're going to serve God and you're going to tell people about Jesus because you're passionate. And I'm like, go for it, buddy, go for it. Get all mad as you want, because one day you're going to serve God and you're going to tell someone about Jesus. And that passion that you're using now, I am thanking the Lord for it, and I'm not going to allow myself to get beside myself, but I am going to help you guide it. And that, I said that out loud to him. Now people will be like, you're crazy? You tell him all that? Yes, I do. I do. And you know what? Your husband, I have a friend, and she's having a hard time in her marriage. And you know what she did the other day? Her husband was in the kitchen. She laid hands on him. She said, and Lord, he is going to be good today. And he's going to come home on time. And he's going to be anointed. And Lord, I thank you for him. And you know what? He looked at her and said, what was that for? And she goes, I just had to lay hands on you today. She thanked God for him right in front of him. Listen, what are you not thanking God for? And you're reaping the benefit of your not thankfulness. And then we're going and blaming God for it. Wondering why our life stinks. Wondering why the things aren't falling into place. Because God says you need to give thanks. Never forget where you came from. Careful to be expectant and not receiving. Be thankful for family. You know, a lot of times people don't have family. Maybe you have a good friend that is like family to you. Go do something generous to them today. Go be a good friend back to them then if you don't have family. If you have family members that just mean the world to you, tell them how special they are to you. I am blessed. I have a grandmother and a grandfather on both sides for my children. And I love my mother-in-law. Sue, where are you at? Right there. She's the most amazing mother-in-law. And I have the most amazing father-in-law. And I have the most amazing mom and the most amazing dad. And listen, you look at me and go, oh, well, why don't you just throw up on me? You know, like, but listen, it's only because of God's goodness. What my parents sowed and what Dan and Sue sowed into Dan and my life. I'm thankful for that. I don't discount the times, Mom, that you were on your knees. I'm so thankful for that. Sue, Dan is so thankful for the times that you were on your knees for him and for Jace. And listen, girls, be thankful that you get to be on your knees for your kids. I was up last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and do you know what I was doing? I was like this in the corner by Chloe's nightlight, pulled out my Bible, and I'm looking up scripture, and I'm like, Chloe, don't be afraid. This is what the Bible says. That's what it says. Now repeat after me. And you know what? Whatever. I don't care if I look crazy. Chloe went to sleep right after that because the spirit of fear wasn't allowed to stay. And I got the word in her. And listen, I'm thankful that my mom put that into me. I'm thankful Sue put that into Dan because now that's going to be put into our kids. What are you thankful for with your families? What has your family done for you lately? What have you done for him lately? See, I can't sing. But I just thought of Gina D real quick. So, floaty thought. And just be thankful, girls. Be thankful for family. Be thankful for friends. But be thankful to God. We so easily forget to thank him for his mercies every day. We so easily forget to thank him for bringing us up out of the pit. How many of you were in a pit and he saved your soul? And if you are not raising your hand, you have no idea what you were on the road to. Because hell is a hot place. And it is a pit of hell. And all of us were going there until God saved us and redeemed us and restored us and reconciled us back to him. So every day we have something to be grateful and thankful for. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I was reading in Psalms. I'm going to use my phone as well. And in Psalms 118, 119, 136, 136, it says, and all the verses begin like this. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. At midnight, I will give thanks to you because your righteousness and your judgments. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." If the Bible repeats it that many times, how much more reminding do we need to remember to say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your restoration. Thank you for your love. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my kids that drive me nuts. Thank you, Lord, for those teenagers that I just really don't see how they're going to turn around and serve you. But you know what? You just stay on your knees, Mama, and you keep praying because my mama pulled us out of hell. My mom pulled us all out of hell. Luke acts like he is so good. He wasn't so good. They just don't know stories. She pulled us all out of hell, all of us. So you guys just get on your knees and you don't give up. Because your kids, you're the only mom that those kids have. You're the only grandmas that those kids have. And you get on your knees and you pray for them. And you give thanks for them on a daily basis. You see, the devil would like to keep us bound and disgusted and broken. And if we don't give thanks and we just expect, and we don't give thanks and we go through the day and we don't have a heart of gratitude and gratefulness, we will always be taking. We will always be taking. We will always be taking. We will never be giving. We will never be giving. And listen, God works with the giving. He doesn't work with the receiving. He works on the giving. God wants us to be givers. God wants us to be givers. God wants us to be givers. He fills us up so we can pour it out. He fills us up so we can pour it out. But you cannot do that if you are not having a heart of gratitude, because your heart will not be ready to receive what God has for you so you can give it out. So keep your hearts right. Check yourself today and make sure that you keep a thankful heart and do not become expectant and a victim of your circumstances. But you turn it around and you become thankful and grateful for the rescue and the salvation that God has given you. Amen.